That's our intro.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Bioscope Brasa. This is the show where two Brasa talk movie news, reviews, shorts, and some cack in between. My name is Raz.
And I'm Joe.
We got four reviews. A. Rainfield.
I thought you were counting in Spanish because I was going
Dungeons and Dragons and the Super Mario Brothers.
Cuatro.
Away, Jody. Weekday.
Weekday. Start of the week.
W-E-A-K. But we haven't done one of these in a while. It's a megasode. It's a mega review episode.
Yeah.
Because we've been catching up on movies.
So many things that came out.
Yeah.
We can't watch everything at the Bioscope as much as we try. We also catch it on streaming.
That's true.
And there was a lot of good stuff.
Yeah.
And not so good stuff.
You've picked the cream de la cream.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not really, though.
Not really.
Okay. We'll go with whatever order you decide.
Let's go alphabetic, because that's how I listed it.
That's lame. I feel like you should have mixed it up.
You want to mix it up a little bit?
Yeah, fuck it. Go with whatever one you want to rant about, like Lost. If you put it in an order like that. And then the rest I don't care about.
I actually don't even have a ranty vibes here.
I knew it.
Ranty my panty. Which one do you want to rant about?
No, I'm not. It's not. You can't.
Because that's a reveal.
Okay, fuck it. Jody, just go alphabetical.
Sec. It's time for a review.
First up is Air. One of your most excited, the movies you were most excited about this year.
One of my most excited movies I'm most excited about.
Directed by Ben Affleck. Move your cursor, I believe. Sonny Vaccaro and Nike pursue basketball rookie Michael Jordan, creating a partnership that revolutionizes the world of sports and contemporary culture.
Told you it's been a weekday. Revolutionary.
Look,
it's revolutionary what they did with
it. It is revolutionary what they were doing there. This movie has got an insane cast. We have Matt Damon, Jason Bateman, Ben Affleck, Chris Messina, Viola Davis, Julius Tanan, Damien Delano Young, Chris Tucker, Jay Moore. I haven't seen him for a while. Marlon Wayans. I think that's the most important.
This is a piece of history. Like Nike pursuing Michael Jordan. It's not about Michael Jordan.
No, which they distinctly
they did.
They very intentionally do.
And it is about how Nike, who's an underdog in the basketball game, because they were dominating running
shoes. They were what, like third or fourth? Like way behind the top.
Yeah,
they
give you the percentages in the beginning of the film. I think they had like 14% or something, and the rest was Adidas and
Converse had the biggest share.
Which is weird because Converse are super uncomfortable.
I know.
Motherfuckers playing in all stars.
But then listen to me explaining to Jenna how it works. Jenna, what shoes did Rocky run in when he went out? He's gonna fly down.
That was the 70s, though. To be fair, so
you suffered for your art.
Yeah, it was that or John Drake's. So this is about how the guys took a chance on Michael Jordan and sort of developed the basketball side of the business around one shoe and one player.
But not just develop the basketball side. It's literally like they say here, they revolutionized the nature of these types
the
of
deals.
Partnerships.
Yeah.
Because what we had back then, and what I think typically still happens now, is as an athlete, you get exploited. You come into a brand.
Yeah.
They give you a thing. And unless you are a top star, you just fall in with what they give you, and then they use your likeness. So lick a cheese and then make some money.
Well,
and
I mean, the NCAAP. NCAA.
The college sports thing. Yeah.
At the end of the movie, they do discuss that, but they're still exploiting players. I mean, some of those players can't get any money in terms of broadcasting rights. They should get a cut of that.
Yeah, that's the big thing now, because college sports in the US, South Africa's trying to get there because they now have like the Varsity Cup and all of that, right, across different sports. In the US, that culture's been
Darts.
Like crazy for years. Don't think we had Varsity Dots yet, but
I'd watch VOTS. Varsity Dots. I'd watch that.
I mean, that just that ad writes itself.
Bowling.
Lawn or temper?
Both. I mean, why not both?
You like a good roll ball.
Yeah, 100%. Right? They should actually have the 10-pin right there by the lawn one so that it would irritate the old people when it goes...
Like, quiet! This is not a noisy sport.
It's a gentleman's game. Where's the manager?
That's cricket.
Anyway, I mean, it's common knowledge if you do give it a googs how they actually came to this. And they weren't putting big money into their basketball division.
Well, I mean... For the time, it was kind of big, but not.
No, no.
Not
so, yeah, in the forms, it's 250,000. Mm-hmm. They wanted to get four players signed.
Yeah. And the names that four. They, yeah, the yeah, names that they yeah. were dropping there. Yeah,
it's crazy. I mean, all the names, or the major names that they dropped didn't really become that great in the NBA.
Yeah.
But in actual fact, it was around 500,000.
Yes.
They just. Ben Affleck decreased the amount to make it seem more like Nike was the underdog.
Okay. So that now adds to something that I wanted to mention, which is creating that underdog narrative even more than what it was. But also the reality of making anything that's based on truth, especially such a famous story.
Yeah.
It's hard to generate tension.
Yeah, that's the thing, because of like timelines and, you know, where things happen specifically and all that jazz. But the guy who is the actual Vaccaro, who Matt Damon plays, he said it's about 80% there.
Okay.
So there's a lot of like conversations happen that didn't happen in person. Maybe it happened on the phone. Locations of certain things. Some people said some things and others didn't. But 80% of it is like legit of how he remembers it. Yeah.
That's cool.
So the story itself is pretty straightforward.
Yeah. Like I said, people know where it's going to end up.
Yeah.
That the deal's going to go through.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to get his own brand, his own shoe and all of that. The nitty-gritty of it, people don't necessarily know.
Well, he wasn't necessarily going to get his own shoe at the other companies.
Yes. No, I don't think he was.
No,
I think
they had their signature shoes. They were just going to add him to the roster.
Exactly. Company. He was going to fall in.
Yeah.
And that's why this partnership is such a unique thing. And why, like that part where Ben Affleck talks about, fuck it, I don't care about the impact on the business.
Yeah.
it's a moose impact on the business.
So, performance-wise, I mean.
Yeah, the
come on.
I almost feel like I want to shout out Chris Tucker.
I want to shout out Marlon fucking Wayans.
Yeah.
Small parts.
Yeah, but Chris Tucker, if you think back to Silver Linings Playbook, similar thing, eh? Like,
just when they are in the hands of the right director.
You can get, I can work magic with them.
But Ben Affleck called him personally.
To get him for this?
Yes.
Yeah,
he said, called him, and he was like, yeah, I want you to play, what's his name, Howard?
Chris Tucker's character is Howard White.
Yeah, he's like, I want you to play Howard White. And then he's like, oh yeah, I know Howard White.
Of course. Chris Tucker just knows friends. Everyone.
But that's the thing. Ben Affleck says you don't realize it until, you know, you really know Chris Tucker, that he fucking knows everybody. Yeah. So he was like, yeah. And Ben has been trying to work with Chris Tucker apparently for a long time.
Yeah.
And this was the right thing. And he could go to Howard. And he wrote all of his dialogue.
Really?
Yeah.
No, that's actually dope, boy.
Chris Tucker wrote all of it because he knows the man.
But also, I don't even know Howard White, but it feels like he was genuinely embodying someone here. Like, completely. Yeah.
He's my Howard White.
For now and forevermore. Yeah, like, you know how in America, Morgan Freeman is there, Nelson Mandela?
Yeah.
This is the same thing.
That was part of the two requirements that Jordan wanted. Viola Davis as his mother. We spoke about that before.
Yeah.
And he wanted Howard White's character to be in the film. Because they are really, really, really tight.
Yeah.
The two of them.
It makes sense. Mm. I mean, and I think that's the interesting part about watching a movie like this, is that we don't know all of these other people, like the guy that designed the shoes, like Howard White's character, the role that he played, Marlon Wayans.
Marlon Wayans was integral.
Just that bar conversation. How interesting that is, right?
And he was so good.
Yeah.
Marlon Wayans is such a good actor in the right hand. So the same goes for Chris Tucker. I'm worried about Rush Hour 4, but let's hope.
Anyway.
For me, the entire cast came to play, bro. Everyone was amazing.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Bateman is doing Jason Bateman things, but not to the point where it gets like
he's so good at the touch. He's so good.
Contrasted with like Horrible Bosses, where it's almost like him and Vince Vaughn, when you give them too much latitude to do their thing.
I really liked Horrible Bosses. It's the second one that went off the rails.
Yeah, more part two.
Game Night is also very good.
Yes. But one of our directors today was actually a Game Night director. But, but in this movie, they got him perfect. Like Matt Damon even. I came in thinking.
Damon. He came. Matt Damon came.
I thought we agreed. Of all the references.
Jody, I'm a Matt Damon fan. And I just want to praise him like I should.
I just
want
to praise him.
Oh, we went different songs there, but yeah. So he's so good in this film.
I came in worrying that he's going to do almost too similar to what he did in Ford vs. Ferrari with playing Shelby.
I didn't hate that too.
I didn't hate it, but I felt like this might be the same thing.
No.
And it's a different really film. Not. It is a different movie with different people.
He actually said that this is the best job he ever had and he mourned when it was over.
Yeah.
You can tell.
You can tell. He's enjoying himself.
But this is the thing, man. Okay, Viola Davis is going to Viola Davis.
Yeah. But also, it doesn't feel like she's overpowering.
But her husband
anyone,
was
but
great, too.
Yeah.
They married in real life.
Really?
Yeah.
I first thought it's Mikelty Williams. What's that guy's name? Was in Justified also.
I'm not going to attempt that. That name.
Don't you know? You know Mikelty.
Michael Hennig. Oh, Mikelty.
He played Baba.
It's like McElhenney.
McElhenney.
McElhenney. You know McElhenney. From Edinburgh, I suppose.
No.
No. So he is married to her in real life, and you could feel that chemistry.
Yeah, no, the chemistry was there.
It was legit.
Do you think that they undersold? Because we know what happened to Michael's dad. They even show the articles and stuff. Do you think that they were almost euphemizing this character, Bitchy? Because, I mean, his dad was involved with some shady stuff also, with the being killed and things. Was that all because of
that
Michael?
No, that was just...
Supposedly, the death and stuff.
Yeah, but, I mean, the official story is that it was just an isolated incident. Okay. Yeah. But the mannerisms of his father was apparently, like, super on point. His father was always smart. Everybody loved him. He was always...
He was a soft one.
Mother was the hard one. And for good reason.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, she made that fucking deal for her son.
Yeah, well, but that stuck where she, like, tucks him so, like, stop smiling.
Yeah, yeah, chill out. We're supposed to do poker face here. What I love about Ben Affleck when he works with certain projects is the ability to take these small stories. They're not action-driven. They're not heavy drama, whatever, but he makes you so invested in the plight of his heroes.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with Argo.
Yeah. It's exactly the same thing. It's not the action that drives his stories.
And he builds up tension so well.
Which also makes me a bit sad for what he could have done with a Batman character under his own.
It's not too soon, Jody. It's too soon.
Just mentioning it.
No, it's fine. I've made peace with that, and I have the new Batman. But it pisses me off because that fucking trash that he did that was his passion project. I was like, what is this? Live by Night.
Oh, yeah.
That movie was so boring.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is your passion project? You gave us Argo, you gave us The Town, and then you do this? But A is moving back to that. And you can see how passionate he is in the interviews and shit. And in the story that he tells. Mm.
And I love that he directs himself well, I think.
He really does.
Because he's never the dominant character in his own stories. No. He always lets other people shine. And he's not afraid to be a cut.
It's Matt Damon's movie. Well, look, I mean, he didn't show full the night the cut at first. But he figured like he's going to make Phil the Knight this character that, people kind of think is kooky because everybody makes fun of the boss and he's the boss and he's this hippie capitalist.
Yeah, that way he comes in and he's like, I had a very important meeting and I wanted to be.
How funny is the movie though? It's so funny.
No, it's got laugh out loud moments.
The script is so tight.
But all of that works because to me, there's no tension with the actual outcome. So you've got to create like other things, like a narrative that's interesting and grabs you.
You have to make the audience root for
that. And that's why you need to watch Tetris. I keep telling you.
I will watch Tetris.
It's a similar thing where like you know the outcome, but you don't care about that. It's more that You are so wanting your characters to succeed, man.
But it's what genre is this? Because it's the same, like, what would you say, like Moneyball, and and it's not the actual sport that is the focus of it. It's the whole kind of business situation, the characters, all that. That's a new genre. Sport business. Like
it. Love it.
Sport business.
Love it.
So
the Mighty Ducks too.
What?
Sports business.
Oh. I thought we were reviewing the Mighty Ducks.
Not really. We can go, bro.
I was like,
the Mighty Ducks love
is that,
here.
Is that the next movie?
I don't care about Disney. What Disney Plus is doing.
Yeah.
The Mighty Ducks will live on in my heart.
Quack, quack, baby. What was that thing?
Quack.
Quack. Quack. Yeah, you have to start slow, yeah.
Quack.
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 Quack. Quack. So, ironically, Jason Bateman.
Yes.
His character.
Rob Strasser.
The actual person is totally the opposite of him.
In how?
In, he's fat. He's bald.
He was
actually quite aggressive.
Yeah.
He was,
this guy resonates with me.
They called him like a nickname, like Thunderball or something like that, which was weird. But he was also the person who actually gave the speech that Matt Damon gave.
Oh, in the conference room. In the boardroom,
So he was
a dope speech.
That's such a dope speech.
Such a good speech.
You know, I was like, even Chris Tucker was like, man, we got him. We got him.
But then Viola stole. Oh, we in spoilers yet?
Oh, wait, let's write it. Let's write it.
Quiet.
This is so quiet.
Has to be a quiet.
So quiet.
It has to be a quiet.
I love this movie. Mm. I think it's so quiet. Are we going to hit spoilers every time? Spoiler. What? Spoiler quack. Time, motherfucker.
Quack.
Michael Jordan makes billions of dollars.
Even not hundreds of billions.
And it's all just to feed his gambling habit. What? Whoa, allegedly, Jody.
Alleged. That phone call of Viola Davis, where, first of all, she just makes them wait.
Yeah.
Matt Damon's checking his people constantly. Everyone is just on 10 tokes, and she makes that phone call. And it's almost as though that is why you get Viola for this type of role. She's like, no, and I'm pretty sure you guys made a mistake by not including.
Yeah, it must have been a clerical error. Not including the revenue
just
percentage.
The biggest thing that has changed the game for sports partnerships with athletes forever.
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 I mean, at the end of the movie, they say Michael Jordan makes $400 million a year passive income.
Passive. If you don't know what passive means, he does fuck all.
Never mind buying a flat. Yo, fucking $400 million in passive income. Never mind his other endorsements.
That is just, he's sitting at home, taking shit personally. And he's getting money.
Yeah.
All the time.
All the time. Non-stop. It's while he's smoking his cigars.
The point that his mother made that I think is so relevant is that the entire success of the brand is contingent on him being one of the best players ever.
Yeah.
Not just good.
Mm.
Not even just great. It's one of the best ever.
That's right.
And they backed him. She says to them that he's going to do it.
Mm.
And she says, you then told me that you believe he's going to do it too. Yeah. So put your money where your mouth is.
Because she believed in his belief in himself.
Yeah.
And if you watch The Last Dance,
you like that. There's no reason to doubt.
Failure is not an option for that, bruh.
With that man, when he's like, what does he say? Time. He starts crying. He's like, I wanted everyone to succeed.
Yeah.
It wasn't just about me. Time. He just gets up.
So apparently she improvised that line, a shoe is just a shoe until my son steps in. And I mean, Viola Davis.
Goosebumps.
EGOT, baby. Goosebumps. EGOT for a reason. Are there any other major spoilers? Because you can't. I mean, okay, for me as a sneakerhead, it was amazing to see
that.
Well, I say sneakerhead very loosely because fuck, it costs too much fucking money. Yeah. But I appreciate sneakers. Let's put it that way. I think the Air Jordan 1 Chicago is the most beautiful Jordan ever made.
Mm.
And to see them kind of work on it a little bit, I would have liked them to get into the design.
I love that character, the designer.
Yeah, because he was a nerd about shoes.
Yeah, Peter Moore,
played
by Matthew Maher. But just the explanation.
Shame that guy died.
Before the movie came out.
Yeah, just before. And he actually moved to Adidas.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. He moved to Adidas in like 98 or something, and he redesigned the logo to what it is now.
Jenna didn't know about the who Adidas was, and that Adidas and Puma
I love that they made fun of it.
But also that Adidas and Puma were brothers. Like, yes. She didn't know that stuff.
The original, in the original area where the sneakers are, well, where they were born, you have one part of the area that is Adidas and the other part is Puma. And you can't like wear them.
Yeah.
Across the board. Funny. But like, I really wanted to see a little bit more than nitty gritty of how they developed the shoe, but I was fine with it. When they did display it, it was like,
yeah,
beautiful. But that wasn't the shoe that they displayed in real life.
If that timeline was for real, like the fact that that bro designed that in like 3 days.
He didn't. They didn't show that shoe. They showed a version of a shoe that they had already. Mm. It was like a prototype, and then they explained what they were planning to do. And then on his debut, I think that, well, maybe it was his debut actually. He wore the first Jordan one.
Do you remember in The Last Dance when he wore those commemoratively in the game?
His feet were bleeding.
And he had all blistered. They didn't just blister, they popped some.
But he was playing so well that he didn't take it off.
He just kept going.
Just shows how technology changes, eh?
The other freak funny part in that conference room, they're like, we'll just pay the fines.
Yeah.
And then Ben Affleck's like,
but that's why he asked him. That was the only reason he asked him to come in 7 minutes late. So you can pay the fines. But there has been a lot of debate over who came up with Air Jordan.
Mm.
And Ben Affleck decided to just handle it like as delicately as possible and say,
are all the role players correct as attorney and the agent, sorry, and everyone else?
Look, I know they're going to take liberties with things, but you want to keep it as true to the story without compromising artistic vision.
Yeah.
And I feel like this one hit that balance really, really well.
Nah, for real.
Yeah, fuck Bohemian Rhapsody.
Woo!
Like I said, in the movie, Nike's offers $250,000, but it was actually $2.5 million for 5 years, which is roughly $500,000.
Yeah. Do you know what was also hilarious was the figures where Ben Affleck's lying there. He's like, what's the worst that could happen? Because he's like, in 1 year, we made, what was it, $3 million of one shoe?
Yeah.
And then they give the figure $162 million for the first year of Air Jordans. Now, just think, if he's, what was his rights now again? What was the percentage? You got 1% that they negotiated his image rights.
Fuck, I didn't even look that
up. But whatever it was, even if it's 1% of 162 million.
Crazy. I mean, 400 more passive income.
While you're recording a podcast, you're quickly getting like
Jordan gets 5%.
5% of 162 million. That's like
I'm saying
just for that first year with them.
He has approximately made $1.3 billion from his Nike deal until 2020. And then he eats Grand West.
Yeah.
Allegedly. Allegedly, guys.
Nah, he looks like a V-Slots man.
Yeah. Imagine smoking AMG's cup with a lemon beast.
Have you seen the
while SNL? The lover lost his plane in the background.
Have you seen the SNL thing that they did with was it with Jay Fairweiss, who was playing Michael Jordan, and then they have him and the security guy playing that nickel guy.
Oh yeah, and then he keeps losing. And Michael's just like, I'm double or nothing.
Oh,
and
wait,
like,
it's Keegan Michael Key that does Michael, I think. Okay, Mike. Next one is Dungeons and Dragons Honor Among Thieves. Directed by John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. A charming thief and a band of unlikely adventurers embark on an epic quest to retrieve a long-lost relic. But their charming adventure goes dangerously awry when they run afoul of the wrong people. I almost said Ori and I almost said a foal.
What? I'm sorry, I wasn't listening.
This movie stars Chris Pine, Michelle Rodriguez, Roger Jean Page, Justice Smith, Sophia Lillis, Hugh Grant, Chloe Coleman, Daisy Head, and is anyone else interesting here?
No. Isn't his name Reggae?
I don't know. I thought it's a soft J.
No, it's the N. That's A.
Reggae. Yeah. I said Roger.
No, it's like the music.
Okay.
Buku. Oliver Sim.
No. Hear me now. Hear me now, Russ.
Wagwan. Your blood clot. Oh,
okay, anyway. So I'll preface this by saying I've never played Dungeons and
Dragons. No, no. Ever. I don't think the craze hit this country as mm-hmm. well, as hard as it hit the US. It's a, yeah, it's a nerd thing.
Mm,
no,
much.
I've seen the tabletop games and stuff. I didn't see people play like this role-playing Dungeons and Dragons shit. Because it's like, for people that don't know, you have like a story outline.
Yeah.
And everyone has characters.
And you have your dungeon master, who's the one that's reading out. Yeah, the
and then you navigate through the mission with the help of rolling of dice and powers and stats and all that shit.
Yes.
Vin Diesel is a huge fan. I was actually surprised that he didn't have a cameo
in this movie.
Yeah,
that's true, because he is one of the most famous D&D fans in the world.
But you know who did have a cameo? Ooh. Or was spotted as, and I spotted him, and then it was confirmed in the facts is Tom Morello from Rage Against the Machine.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
I know. It's like that guy looks like Tom Morello.
That's kind of like Simon Pegg in Star Wars.
Yeah, very. Well, he is a huge Star Wars fan. I don't know if
Tom Morello's but I just mean D&D. Like the type of cameo that's like, what?
So there have been films made prior to this in Dungeons and
Dragons. Jeremy Irons was in the last one.
Not good.
That. Yeah.
Not good movies.
What was that, 80s, eh?
No, 90s. It was fucking up to the 2000s, bruh.
Oh.
Yeah.
But Jeremy Irons' one was a bit older.
No, I think it might be 2000s.
Oh.
But not great films. Yeah. They didn't have a big budget. And the fandom are not too fond of it.
No. Not quite sure if they are quite at the same level as Star Wars fandom. But yes, I too have heard
of them. I don't feel like they are as aggressive.
Mm.
But this one apparently ticked a lot of boxes, especially for fans.
Look, for me, just as a fantasy movie, it's a lick of fun ride.
It was a fun ride.
I was enjoying this.
I was enjoying this too.
This is one of those movies I needed to convince Jen to watch. Like, Jen, it's going to be lick.
Yeah, Abby fell asleep the first time. and she didn't watch. She missed a chunk in the middle. But I mean,
Jen stayed up for the whole thing. And she was like, that movie was really
entertaining. It's got good characters. It's the dialogue is great. The action is solid. CGI. But you believe it. You believe the world. You believe their struggle, whatever.
Look, Hugh Grant. Just like this phase of his life.
He doesn't give a fuck.
I'm just here for it, man.
He's just having fun.
Like the villains that he's playing, the strong reminder of his character in Paddington, actually.
Yeah.
Just like the cut-mark nature of the villain, and like he just loves being bad. Awesome.
No, he's
Chris Pine, another one who...
Chris Pine.
Whatever he's in, he just seems to be nailing like these days for me. He's not missing. And he's not always...
Well,
I didn't watch that.
The other one.
Oh, what's her name? Olivia Wilde's film.
Yeah, I didn't watch
I also
that.
Haven't seen it. But it's almost like he never stands out that much as a lead, but everyone around him shines.
Yeah, but
like
his Star Trek movies are also solid.
Yes.
I mean, he's a star, man.
Another ensemble cast vibe, the same like this, I would say. And he's a star, but he also makes those around him shine.
Feel like stars.
Yeah.
That's right.
This is Michelle Rodriguez. I was pleasantly surprised by
also
by this character.
It's like
working
you.
Can
for you her. Do other stuff now?
And then, but
Letitia,
she's doing Letty in this. But
and, you saw and a comment about the Marvel movies.
Yeah. Wow, that's a wow.
Yeah, for those who don't know, she made a comment about Marvel movies. Like we're making the same stuff. You're gonna run out of ideas, and so tired of making so many movies.
Yeah,
they are on the 11th Fast and Furious
heading to
movie.
13%.
So
we are heading
like,
there on Thursday night.
Pot and kettle. What are you doing? What are you doing? But Letitia is. It's nice. I'm smart calling her Letitia now. It's nice to see her in other things.
Yes.
And she killed it.
The emotional stuff she pulled off, the action.
She pulled off all of it. What up, girl?
Hey, girl. Abby disagreed. I read Abby's.
Abby didn't watch the whole film. It wasn't boring. It was good.
We liked it.
Dungeons and Dragons.
In any case, the rest of the cast, the rest of that core crew really liked it. Justice Smith, like, I think...
He fooled Hugh Grant with his accent.
Really?
Because obviously Hugh Grant doesn't know who he is. Mm. That's such a Hugh Grant
thing. And then he was just doing what the British accent
is. Yeah, and then he fooled Hugh Grant apparently. But Hugh Grant confessed in an interview that he had a temper tantrum on the very first day of shooting. While it turned out to be somewhat of a misunderstanding, he was very embarrassed and he apologized and stuff, but he shouted at someone who he thought was a film executive, but they were just the local chaperone.
Which says a lot about film executives.
It does, but I mean, he went, I did a Christian Bale.
Wouldn't the more contemporary version be, I did a Tom Cruise?
No.
Hey, Tom Cruise lost his shit that on Mission on Maverick.
That was set up, man. I don't believe that.
Tom Cruise, don't you besmirch the name.
I don't believe
of
that.
The person was in my favorite movie last year.
Scientology in jets.
But yeah, this is like, I think I would have gotten more from this movie if I understood all the lore.
Yeah,
and
but
the
it didn't even matter. That's what I love
ultimately,
about it.
Ultimately,
they took it and they paid homage to all those little nitty gritty things. Because I mean, if you look at the trivia, my baru, there's like in the background, you can see fucking Rustmonters eating metal because that's what they eat. I'm not God.
You don't see that.
So it's like, they service those fans, but
for those of
they
us,
make
just
it super people, accessible yeah. for us because this the comedy was on point. Not every joke hit, but a lot of them hit really
Most
well.
Most of the action was good as well.
Oh, well, there's that fight scene with Reggae where he does, where the fight.
He's just the
You fight with a knife, man.
Yeah, he fight with his dagger.
He was scabbing with a dagger.
Oh. I'm just hearing the
But that, that fight scene is really, really good.
Yeah.
Even the stuff with Letty, amazing. So the choreography is great. The magic stuff, it's obviously CGI
really enjoyed the fight choreography. Because you could also see it wasn't those hard, fast cuts. It was letting the action flow.
Yeah.
Just well directed. It works so awesomely.
And it was cool to be like, oh, he's got a daughter. It wasn't just, you know, a regular hero's journey. He had a daughter and lost his wife, and he had some skin in the game and trying to redeem himself. So it all adds to you, like, rooting for the heroes, basically.
That's true.
Which is dope.
Also, like, the main duo, it doesn't just become a love story.
No.
It's like they actually just have a good relationship as people.
Yeah.
There's no
That's the future, guys. They don't have to fall in love.
Platonic
is the way to go.
Just go with it.
Are we?
Can we shout out the most random cameo? At this point,
I don't know where you're going with this, but yes,
the little cameo.
Oh yes, what is Bradley Cooper doing these days?
He's doing Rocket,
apparently.
And he's playing the little people in Dungeons and Dragons.
Because Rocket took him like a year, 2 years to record, and then probably in the meantime he was like, okay, I'll do this.
I'll just go. I've got time.
Yeah, so that was also cool because she's like this hulking. A warrior woman, a barbarian actually, and she falls in love with this tiny
man. She's got a type.
Yeah.
She has a type.
She has a type.
But the amount of heart that gets infused into that scene, like a scene that it could have just been a throwaway scene.
Yeah.
But they make it so sincere. Like him explaining to her why their relationship didn't work out, attaches on her character's backstory.
Yeah, like giving her some closure
and
shit.
They dived in just enough into all the character's stories so that you're interested in them.
Oh, wait. She grew her hair out, her armpit hair. That was a real armpit hair.
Yeah. What did you think of? So
It's like, yeah.
What did you think of?
I like my armpit hair real.
Like a bushy, like a real.
She was cool.
Sophia Lillis, I mean, for those who don't remember, she was in It.
Yeah.
She played Beverly Marsh in there.
Yeah, luckily they didn't stay true to the book on that one.
Very much so. child pornography is a crime. But, like, her character as well.
Yeah.
Like, it reminded me a bit of the character in Eternals, Sprite.
Sprite.
You remember Sprite?
No, I'm more of a Coke guy myself.
I prefer lemonade. Mountain Dew.
No, Jody.
Is it Mountain Dew?
Mountain Dew is the worst one.
But who competes?
Is Mountain Dew and Sprite? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because Mountain Dew is Pepsi.
Yeah.
Did you watch? Is it that Sugar Foam?
No.
Where the bra has what they call Mountain Dew mouth.
Whoa.
And then he opens his back. He like lives in the south, and he opens his mouth, and his teeth are like gray nubs, my bro. Because he drinks like a fucking case of Mountain Dew a day.
Just imagine the pee.
No, it is luminous. But I liked her. Mm. I feel like the core four.
I want to go on more adventures with them.
I mean, I hope there's another one.
Are there any spoilers?
Not really. I mean, it's the introduction to the heroes and, you know,
to this world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a lot of like little things that were very funny, like the using the bird judge to try and get out of the.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and the
when they in any case got pardoned.
Yeah. And the world looks so cool. You could see like the animatronics where they used animatronics. Well, you didn't necessarily see where they used it, but it was so well done.
Yeah.
That tongue thing in the chest.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that whole thing was like made. A real thing wrapped around a leg and shit. I mean, obviously when it's moving, it's like CGI, but yeah. And then that other, there was an animal that Reggae pulls out of the fish's mouth.
Yeah.
That was also fully animatronics. And they did that in one shot. Jeez. So they had to like work to build, make sure that the robot was built right and it didn't get damaged as he pulled it out.
And didn't kill him.
Exactly. Skynet is real. So there's a lot of work that went into it that I think just fleshes out the world a little bit more and makes it lived in.
Yeah, but you feel it. Right?
100%.
It doesn't feel like it's shot in front of a green screen. And I mean, this directing duo, they've done some good stuff together. They've written a lot of things.
Yeah.
They've worked as writing partners, but also as director partners. So they did the film debut was Vacation, the National Lampoon's Vacation.
Terrible.
And then they also wrote Homecoming, Spider-Man Homecoming.
Oh, wow.
They were co-writers on that. And they also directed Game Night that you just referenced as well. So, but I mean, they even wrote on things like the PJs, Eddie Murphy's thing back in the day.
Wowza.
PJs. Projects. Living in the PJs.
Yo, that's crazy. That was dope.
So yeah, they've done some good stuff together, and I'm not all excited for what other stuff they're going to come up with if it's in this line. So I guess Kwayonai,
he's young, eh?
The one is young, the other guy's older.
He was in Freaks and Geeks as well.
John, the one guy. Yeah, I think that's John Francis Daly. He's the younger one, and then Jonathan Goldstein is much older.
Oh, okay.
He was born in 68.
Gee whiz.
Yeah, the other one is 1985.
Okay, well, this is a choir for me, Jody. this is a choir for me.
Definite choir for me.
Yeah, we've been missing some of this fantasy romps, I feel.
Yeah, but also not like, it doesn't have to all be on a Dune scale.
No way. I wouldn't call Dune a romp.
I mean fantasy.
Dune is like fantasy that like went to like university.
Highfalutin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
But this is like bang, bang, fun times.
We are moving on to Renfield, one of the movies I was most excited about for this year. This is directed by Chris McKay. Renfield, the tortured aide to his narcissistic boss Dracula, is forced to procure his master's prey and do his every bidding. However, after centuries of servitude, he's ready to see if there's life outside the shadow of the Prince of Darkness. This movie stars Nicholas Holt as the titular Renfield. We have Nicolas Cage as the most Dracula that's ever Draculaed.
Wow.
Ever.
Yeah, it was an amalgam of Draculas.
Yes, that they all pay tribute to. I didn't know Awkwafina was in this movie.
I didn't know either. I totally forgot about in the trailer.
Yeah. We also have Ben Schwartz as the kind of villain, I guess. Shorey Agdalushu as Bella Francisca Lobo. She's Ben Schwartz's mother. Brandon Scott Jones, Adrian Martinez as Chris. I mean, this is all people that's in the support group. But the main characters are the main characters, the ones that we need to know about.
Oh, yeah. Fresh take on Dracula. Yeah.
With tons of tribute shots to...
No, definitely. Like I mean, in the beginning of the film, there's like a... Where he's talking about Dracula and they have this old footage from the old movies. And stuff. It was like seamless, eh? Yeah. It was so well done. Yeah.
Also, just like shots where they close in on...
Yeah, because he looked at like Bela Lugosi. He really and he looked like Frank like Langella at one point. It was like all these...
The people who are most clearly thought of as Dracula.
Well, by him.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, my Dracula is from Dracula 2000.
Oh, Eddie Murphy.
No, with Aaliyah, that movie.
Is that not Eddie Murphy?
No, you're thinking of Vampire in Brooklyn.
Vampire in Brooklyn. That's the one.
And I'm joking, by the way. Dracula 2000 is dog shit.
So, wait, in the Aaliyah one, is R. Kelly Dracula in that?
Oof, no. No. Either. Someone in the closet. It's the police in the closet. They're gonna lock me up. Fuck that guy. Anyway, Renfield has to now find his way in this modern world, and he kind of decides that he wants a break from Dracula after seeing Awkwafina being strong.
Yeah, standing up to her boss.
Mm.
Yeah, that's such an interesting take on the story.
It's, it's actually a story about someone overcoming codependence.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like the most shitty codependence you've ever seen in your life.
Fucking hell.
I think it's relatable to anyone who's had a cuck boss.
Yeah.
Like ever in their life. But they obviously enshroud this in the Dracula world.
Yes.
So you have a Renfield who's got his own superpowers because of working for Dracula.
Yeah.
You've got Dracula, one of the most powerful beings in like law and myth and all that stuff. And then the madness that they reap on the world.
No, but you also have the crime family.
Oh yeah.
The
Lobo family.
Yeah, with Jean-Ralphio.
Yeah, Jean-Ralphio. They should have got Jenny Slate.
He's basically Jean-Ralphio, just with a criminal, like, and one that can swear. Because it's like, he's ridiculous.
He is. And but he's useless.
He was so funny, though.
He's useless. Yeah. He doesn't actually do anything well. He is so bad.
When he was running with the bag, he's holding like 20 bags of cocaine. And he's running and he's like, I have a prescription for this.
He throws the cocaine at the police people chasing him. He throws it at them.
Oh, he's so funny. Awkwafina's fine.
Whenever she does something understated like this, I'm fine with it.
I'm also fine with it. And we kept asking, why does she look like that? And I'm like, it's so hunched. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, that's a bold.
That is. I don't even know if it's a bold or if that's the character she goes into, where she just does like a thing and that's how she talks. Because have you listened to, like, Ali Wong does a similar thing where when she talks and when she's in movies, she sounds a certain way. And when she's on stage doing stand-up, she sounds very different. Like, she does almost like
her performance voice.
But her performance voice is like, I can't talk English properly, like that type of stage thing. And I think Awkwafina does this whole thing as part of her. I think that was like her persona when she's acting.
Yeah, but it's ever since she was Danny DeVito in that other film.
Jumanji.
Jumanji. They're going to ask you this though. What did you think of the violence?
The violence was fun. Strong Netflix vibes coming through with some of that blood there.
Yeah, but I feel like it was supposed. They set the tone pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was, I initially I was shocked because I haven't watched a lot of the trailers for this thing.
Yeah.
So I wasn't expecting that comical level of violence.
It reminded me of The Boys at some time.
Yes. I think that's the exact tone that they are going for.
I mean, he punches a guy's head off.
Yeah. Just off.
Yeah. He beats people with arms that he just ripped off a guy, which was cack funny. Yeah. You're using them like fucking nunchucks.
Darth Maul. Did I send you that video of Ray Park at the convention?
No.
Ray Park just goes into Darth Maul.
No, he's like a full-on martial artist.
I know, he's like, but people don't think he can do this shit.
No, he can.
In his daily life, but he just like, he starts off slow.
What is that?
And then he starts going and going, and going and going and going. Are you seeing the stuff going?
Yes.
Can you put that in post?
Of course. I'll put that. The noises, the lightsabers, the work. That's not how they sound, but okay.
There you go.
Nice. It was fun to see Nicholas Holt also do something. I mean, he did that zombie movie, which was kind of in a similar vein.
Mad Max Fury Road.
Nope. It was called like Dead Love or something. No, not Dead Love. What? Heartbeat.
He's like a zombie. That's why it's funny.
Yeah, I get it.
Warm bodies.
That's the one. Mm. Which is cool. I like he's fucking around with roles and stuff. Doing some crazy.
Did you see that he's currently the front runner
For Lex Luthor?
Either Lex or Superman.
I would prefer him as Lex.
I also prefer him as Lex. Yeah. Him bold Lex. I mean, he's just gonna have his Fury Road look again. But
yeah.
Without the silver
paint.
Yeah, slightly less silver paint. A bit less. Unless he goes the Jesse Eisenberg route, in which case it'll be all silver paint.
Oh my God, Jesse. Let's, again, too soon.
PTSD.
Too soon. Renfield syndrome, also known as clinical vampirism.
Oh.
Is a rare psychiatric disorder where an individual has an intense fascination with drinking blood or believing themselves to be a vampire.
Oh.
The syndrome is named after the character R.M. Renfield from Bram Stoker's novel Dracula.
Why wouldn't they call it Dracula syndrome? Because Renfield doesn't actually drink blood.
Motherfucker, I'm not a psychiatrist. I didn't write this shit.
That don't make no sense.
I'm just hitting you with the facts, bro.
But it doesn't make no sense, bro. It's... Nothing. Renfield only eats bugs.
Nothing makes in this film. Yeah. Yes.
Which is a cool way for him to get these powers. So he keeps his little matchbox with like ants and worms. Like just dry insects in it.
Which movie do you think Chris McKay used to convince the studio to cast Nick Cage?
In this?
Mm.
Is the Nick Cage movie, I'm assuming.
Oh, no. Of course it's a Nick Cage movie.
The Mandy.
What?
That no. movie? Oh. Is the old film?
Yes, 90s.
Fear and Loathing?
Kiss of Death. Do you remember that one?
No.
It's with him and the guy from CSI.
Oh, Caruso.
Yes, Caruso's in there. And then Nicolas Cage keeps wearing these tracksuits. And he says, he's this gangster who's obviously like
Nicolas. My favorite Caruso movie is Jade. Thank you very much.
Oh my God, fuck that. Nicolas Cage, Kiss of Death. Okay, you maybe don't remember it, but if you did, you would get it.
Okay.
Yeah, he was involved in a lot, I won't say a lot, but a few Dracula films that didn't get made, shame. Mm. He's been wanting to play Dracula for years. Dracula's one of the three characters that he's always wanted to play. The other two are Captain Nemo and Superman.
Captain Nemo, not Indian?
I don't know. He's from Atlantis, so he could be colored. Shame, and he came so close to Superman as well, eh?
Yeah. I mean, he didn't look good in the shots.
No, he did. With the long hair.
That suit didn't do it for me.
Shit.
Anyway, this director, I don't know how excited I was going to be if I had known who the director was. He was an editor on the Lego movie.
Yeah.
He directed the second one, which I didn't really... No, not directed. It's the second one, sorry. Lego Batman. He directed.
Mm.
Which is fine. But then Tomorrow War, I think you and I both thought Tomorrow War was kind of shit.
Yeah, it was shit.
Yeah.
Compared to this, that was definitely...
No, on its own. Like, even if those were the release.
Yeah, there was a bad movie. It was a crisp rat.
A crisp rat movie.
I just realized that all my facts are Nicolas Cage centric.
There's never too much.
Nicolas Cage had his teeth filed down in order to have a more natural fitting.
How do you get them back?
For his prosthetics. No, he has...
veneers.
Yeah, he has veneers. Okay. So you can just get that replaced. Nice. The studio probably fucking pays for it.
That's true.
This was interesting. This is his first live action film by a major studio since Ghost Rider.
That makes sense.
Because he was in the dumps at some time.
And he was doing all those
paying off that $6 million of debt.
Still, there was never a lack of honesty in those performances, Ross.
Not a single lie was told. An enormous fan of Dracula and the source material, Nicolas Cage prepared for his role by observing the distinctive ways Dracula was portrayed on screen by Bela Lugosi, Frank Langella, and Gary Oldman.
Yeah, in Dracula. Yeah.
Bram Stoker's Dracula.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So that, I mean, that comes through 100%, even though he cages it up.
But just the way that they pay homage in those shots, man, it's, if you know those movies.
The lighting, the light, like he looks beautiful. Just like them.
Beautiful.
But I liked his performance overall. I thought it was a lot of fun. The one time I bust was when he was.
Wait, is this, we
are. This isn't a spoiler. Oh, okay. This is in the beginning of the film where Renfield comes back to him and he's all fucked up.
Yeah.
And he's like, he'll seriously be
when he's so burnt, yeah, and they trapped him in the thing.
He says something. No, not even that. When he's he says something that's so fucking funny, man. I can't remember what it is. But because of the way he looks and the way he sounds, it just hits so hard.
Isn't that when he's recovering?
He's trying to bring in bodies and he's like,
yeah.
What is this?
Okay, before we go into some slightly spoilery stuff, quiet life for you.
I'm going to say this is quiet.
Yeah.
Quiet as well.
It was a fun ride, dude.
Good time.
Like, the way that he kills people.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, you can get the spoiler button.
Okay. We didn't do spoilers for Dungeons.
I know. They weren't any.
Nah. Kind of kill Dracula.
They kill that whole support group.
Yeah, they kill that whole support group. I didn't think they were gonna do that, but they did it.
Look, they bring them back.
They do.
But they kill that whole group. He doesn't even drink their blood.
No,
he just killed them out of spite.
Yeah, and that's what that's what abusers do.
So the premise in this movie
manipulation 101
is that basically Dracula, the more pure the soul that he drinks, the stronger he gets. Yeah. Right? So Renfield's plan is to bring him like criminals. So he's essentially doing the Dexter thing.
Mm.
Because Renfield wants to get people who he thinks deserves to die. That's why he's in the support group.
Yeah.
Because the people that the addicts are talking about, or that these victims talk about,
yeah,
are people who should like get their comeuppance.
Yes.
So Dracula gets pissed at him. Because he's like, what am I supposed to get from these bodies? Yeah. It's like there's no nutrients in them. Bring me nuns,
yeah,
a bus full of cheerleaders.
But that's when that actually, that first fight scene was when you realize what you're in for.
Mm.
Is when he goes to go and kill that that chick's boyfriend, and the assassin guy comes in, and he was like, yeah. And then I was like, okay, this is what we're in for. But yeah, they kill Dracula at the end.
Mm-hmm.
They trap him in this fucking circle thing, and then they chop him up. They grind him. They put his remains in cement, throw it down the drain.
Yeah.
Like they,
thorough.
As much as they could possibly kill him, they chop. And it's just him and Awkwafina, and they are enjoying every second of it, like it's laughing.
Magical.
Even like after they chopped him up and everything, he's like, she's shooting him with bullets. I thought that was gag funny.
Also, just the level of corruption in the police force.
Yeah, yeah, it's crazy. Like that whole fucking, that whole precinct is under control of the Lobos.
Everyone.
Yeah.
She catches with that cocaine bag. He still gets out like immediately.
No, it's ridiculous, but it's ridiculous in a good way.
Yeah, no, it's once you buy into all of that, it's like this is just a liquor movie. Just switch it on, enjoy the violence, go for the ride.
Go for the ride, just have a good time. Nicolas Cage lived in a haunted castle for 1 year to write a horror script, and once he finished, the laptop was broken.
That's why the man owed $6 million.
Yeah, because the next fact is Nicolas Cage owes several castles.
This is probably the film that had the most discussion around it.
Yeah. It made what?
It's over $1 billion.
Over $1 billion already, yeah.
Yeah. So our last movie for today, The Super Mario Brothers
movie.
Directed by, and this is a little bit, there's some discussion around this, Aaron Horvath and Michael Jelenic. With help from Princess Peach, Mario gets ready to square off against the all-powerful Bowser to stop his plans from conquering the world. We obviously know about Chris Pratt as Mario. We know about...
Look, I love John Leguizamo. I love Bob Hoskins.
Yeah. You're still waiting for that sequel
in this film.
No. In my heart, I'm still waiting for that sequel.
No, fuck that.
Russ, I went home that day from the cinema because I watched it at the cinema. And I went home and I'm like, Dad, there's going to be a sequel because Koopa got out. Koopa, Dennis Hopper.
Rubbish, my bro.
Yo.
They didn't this is the original that. Epic Girl. We are talking about the 90s version. Girl. Have you not shown it to her?
I'm not going to show
Why
it to
not?
Her. Because she's going to cuck me out.
Whatever happens, it's not as bad as
Chris Pratt.
Interstellar,
yes.
So we've got Chris Pratt as Mario. We've got Charlie Day as Luigi. Anya Taylor-Joy as Princess Peach. Jack Black as Bowser. Kevin Michael Richardson.
My bad.
Yeah, I'm looking for Keegan-Michael Key as Toad. Kevin Michael Richardson as Kamek. Carrie Payton as Penguin King. I'm looking for someone cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Fred Armisen as Cranky Kong. Seth Rogen as Donkey Kong. Cool.
That's it.
Yeah.
Look. Is there a story?
The story is the summary, basically. Well, I mean, let's put it this way. Bowser is taking over the world, right? The world.
Well, if...
He's attempting
if
to...
If Peach doesn't marry him.
Yes, if Peach doesn't marry him. But he's, like, his world is attempting to conquer the other worlds within the Super Mario universe, which is distinct from our world, right? The Mario Brothers exist in Brooklyn with the Italian accents.
Well, only for the ad.
Yeah, only for the ad, which is how they explain away.
Yeah, but I must admit, I did miss the proper voice actors and the actual Italian
Yeah, also,
accents.
To then get the voice actor in for, like, minor roles.
No, he did. I had a cameo. He was that old man.
Yes, who shouted.
Yeah. But I would have liked... I mean, I know what they were concerned that a full movie of Mario and Luigi talking like that could be irritating. But there's ways. I mean, he's a voice actor. You can tone it down.
You just
can
make her the more sincere character like they've tried to do here in any case. A voice actor.
Yeah. So Chris Pratt was fine. I feel like they could really praise him with anyone.
Yeah, he was just fine.
Yeah.
Contrast that with a Bradley Cooper as Rocket.
Yeah.
It's worlds apart.
Night and day.
Yeah.
Mushroom Kingdom and
Earth. She gets it.
I don't know what he just did now. I'm lost.
Night and day.
Day and night.
Oh my God. God,
is that the tune that you were singing?
Everyone gets it, okay.
Okay.
Everyone gets it.
Get a like, share in the comments.
I don't know.
But yeah, I feel like the Chris Pratt was kind of weak. Keegan-Michael Key, you wouldn't know that it was him.
No.
That was full on like...
No, that was just chameleon.
Yeah, but he said in the interview, you kept going higher, and then they're like, oh, can you go a little higher? And he kept going, like, oh, can you go a little higher? So he like took it there. Charlie Day...
Oh, dude, Charlie Day for me is a tough
one. But I feel like he was wasted.
Charlie Day is exhausting to me as an actor.
So you're not a fan of
It's Always Sunny? The show is funny. Charlie Day to me is, I get exhausted. I can only take so much of Charlie Day.
I felt that Luigi, considering who was voicing him, Luigi was so boring.
But Luigi was also...
secondary.
Not just secondary, but actually...
Player 2.
Severe Player 2. It's like Player 2, but that remote wasn't plugged in, my bro.
Which was cack. I mean, like,
they did him a disservice.
It's the Supio. It's the Super Mario Brothers.
Yes. And they don't... save for like one moment, but... Honestly,
the first thing they do is split him up.
They split him up, but they also sidetrack Luigi.
He's
so incapable throughout. It's
dog shit, actually, because there's a lot of things that don't make sense, like in the story. Mm. And I feel like they just looked at, like, oh, we have to do this and we have to do this. So, how are we going to tie this to this?
Yeah.
And do this so that can get you and do this thing.
And just lots of fan service stuff. That
too much. Like, really just if you look at the trivia, Jody, fuck my life. The fucking Easter eggs, the amount of Easter eggs in this film is ridiculous.
Yeah.
They stuffed this thing so full that. I believe they didn't think they were going to get a sequel.
So let's just get everything in the first
everything.
One. But I mean, there's going to be a sequel.
No, definitely over a billion. But I mean, you didn't need to have everything in it.
This is true.
It could have been a story about the brothers and how they overcome things together. I would have preferred that in their own way.
Which they imply they are going to do. They're focusing on their relationship early and the dynamic of their relationship.
Yeah, but I mean, because Luigi follows him, right? To start this business.
Why must Luigi carry the tools the whole time, bro?
Yo. I was thinking the same fucking thing. It's like jumping from platform to platform. And Luigi got, you know how heavy tools are.
Luigi does everything Mario does, but with tools, my bro.
Right? And you just clang, 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 clang. These fucking spenders and Alice.
Yeah.
They are terrible plumbers. God. Yeah.
They're really not good at their job.
No, they're not. And it sucked because I thought... Okay, when we get into spoilers, I'll pitch you my ending.
So they did the side scroller thing early, right?
Yeah,
early. Which I assume they would do at some point in the movie.
Yeah.
But that early to me was a bit too wasted.
It was very early for no reason. It was like, oh, remember what movie you're watching?
This is how me and Luigi are gonna go from this part to this part and
just dun, 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 dun.
Dun, dun.
Day and night. So then, that hit too early. But then it falls into the Illumination animation trap,
yeah,
where they play a popular song and they do a montage and it's the same fucking shit.
Yeah.
And they don't even play like unique popular songs or new popular songs. It's generic. All fucking generic it's shit generic. That we've seen before. I Need a Hero, Shrek 2, I want to say. Guardians of the Galaxy used Mr. Blue Sky. Fucking Take on Me.
Which in this made no sense also.
Take on Me.
Take on Me made no sense.
As well. Like it's just dog
playing
shit.
It for playing its sake.
Yeah. And it's the same thing, the same issue I have with Illumination every time. And it's no soul.
Yeah, I was about to say, you saying no soul, it's also characters that have no heart.
No.
Because
they got no heart, they got no soul.
I can yell too.
They're never gonna beat the Pixar with that attitude.
And that's the thing, man. If you're going to make stuff like this, you need to get people invested in the characters.
100%.
Like, the stories, it can be how exciting. They have a world. They've got this built-in world. Just make characters that people like.
Yeah.
And that people are invested in.
Instead of focusing so heavy on fan service, focus on the story first of the two. Because now you kind of have an opportunity to create something new in terms of their relationship and where they come from and how they grew up and how they overcome shit.
And they don't even have to do new, because Super Mario is, I mean, the property is actually so old that they could have, there's a whole new audience available.
Yeah.
They could have just like actually explained Super Mario to a new audience, and it would have been something unique and different.
I mean, I did like the fact that Princess Peach wasn't like captured.
Yeah, empowered. That was Miss Anya Taylor-Joy's whole thing with coming on board for this film was she's not doing it if Princess Peach was just going to be.
But again, like Mario just sticks out there and then she somehow like trusts him and then starts training him. It's like in an instant.
Yeah, and he just can do everything.
Yeah,
like you know,
fucking years of power. Yeah. Because that's the model of the story, right? You can only win if you got power ups.
Yes. That's the basic premise is if you can like also shrooms are good. That's what they are reinforcing to children.
I did like that. I like that he didn't like mushrooms.
Yeah.
That was funny. And he had to eat a mushroom every time.
In my box.
Hey, what the bellini?
Your girl? Have you tasted my mushroom sauce, my bro?
I don't like mushroom sauce.
Homemade.
No.
I chop it fine. You chop the mushrooms must be fine. For the sauce, that's your body, and then you also slice them to make the thing. Yeah. These are my passions, Abigail.
No, I prefer monkey glands.
Monkey gland? Hansteers too?
I always ask them where they get their monkey glands, but they never want to tell me.
The monkey.
Anyway, speaking of monkeys, Donkey Kong
was
fun. Seth Rogen, the laugh was fine, but also, when they got that army, it was for nothing.
Mm. They were useless.
Yeah.
Completely useless.
They just fought. The only reason they got that is to get to the Rainbow Bridge so they can look at the fucking Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah, and do the race as well. I guess.
There was another song that played there.
Yeah. Forgot. Lurie.
Yeah, me too.
I watched this movie like an hour ago.
But it's just no heart and no soul. I'm sorry. It's got nothing. The funniest character for me was the little star.
The star that's so happy about everyone about dying.
Yeah, that was the best. That's the best character.
Okay.
Oh fuck! We didn't speak about Jet Black.
Yeah,
he was the best.
Peaches.
So good. You can hear he made that up on the spot.
And it was the best glorious thing.
No, he was inspired by Darth Vader when he did this.
Really?
Yeah. Such a good Jack Black is so good at this.
That character motivation of him wanting to marry her, that hit me out of left field. But that was such a good part.
Mm.
Literally, he wants to marry her, and if she does want to marry him, then everyone must die.
Yeah. One fact I want to hit you with is that the song Peaches debuted at number 83 on the Billboard Hot 100.
But number one in my heart.
In everyone's hearts. Mm-hmm. And it gave Jack Black his first solo hit and his first hit overall since Tenacious D, Pick of Destiny, peaked at 78 in 2006.
Wow.
That's the only fact I care about, because the rest of them are fucking, did you see this from this obscure game? Did you see this from this game? Did you see this from... Trash.
Before we go into spoilers, Kwai and I,
It's a 9 for me, dog.
Yeah, it's like 3 out of 4 today. This is a 9 for
me.
Also,
this is a 9 for me. I feel there are better films for you to watch with your children, if that is your goal, and there are better animated films.
Go
for
watch. If you want to watch a gay movie, go watch Sonic. Honestly, Sonic was.
Yo, I thought you said something else. I also thought you said gay movie.
Oh, game?
Yeah, we didn't catch the M at the end. Oh. My bad.
Enunciate. Enunciate. It's enunciate, damn it.
This is Cape Town. It's enunciate. Anyway. So, yeah, there's way better movies for games. You got Spider-Man, Spider-Verse, Sonic, all these things that are just better films.
This is such a missed opportunity.
And you know, Nintendo was, it ruined them, the first Mario Brothers, right? And they were so scared. No, they were so scared.
Look, they haven't been ruined. They've made a fuck.
No, they made money. But I mean, they were so scared to actually go through with something like this before. Until now. And this was your one opportunity to make something great, and you made what? Mediocre garbage again. Because of Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
No, it's not his fault. They defeat Bowser with a superstar.
Yeah.
Now, listen to this.
Yeah.
What I would have liked to see. Because he now used all his power ups to do all the shit. They get into Brooklyn. Who knows Brooklyn better than Mario? No one. Right? And he's a plumber. So why didn't they devise a way for him to use the Brooklyn pipes and the plumbing and the streets to defeat Bowser somehow?
That would have been logical.
How dope would that be? Because then you are Mario without the supercar.
Yeah. You're just Mario being a hero.
The hero is inside you all along.
But also the point of this is that when they together, Ross.
Forever. Oh, no, no. Nothing can defeat them.
Mario and Luigi. Yeah.
No, I think the whole thing, they thought that because Mario keeps getting the shit beat out of him and he keeps getting up.
Yeah.
So that was the thing. Like, he doesn't quit.
But also, Luigi can't do fuck all.
Oh, man. What a waste Luigi was.
Okay. Do you want to hear from the. We got lots of feedback on what people thought of the movie.
Yeah, don't. You must get them all, eh?
Yes, I'm busy. I'm here, guy. I'm here.
You can call me girl, girl.
I'm here, girl. Okay, Dean Schroeder wrote in and said, Air was hella dope. Love a good biopic. D&D was fun, refreshingly fun, and haven't watched the other two yet.
Agree, Dean.
Do I need to do that long one?
You must do everything.
You told Meg to send in her thoughts.
Look, she took
the time. So.
She sent a comment to say that, oh, I can't fit all my thoughts into this. And then I was like, just DM us.
And she did. Okay. So Meg, thank you. We will read your thoughts.
Okay, first, do you want to break it into sections? Or
yeah, she did it for us. Air is still in my watch list, but as for the rest, D&D, I highly recommend. It had enough action, humor, and emotion that left me smiling the whole time. It didn't leave me wanting more than it already gave me, so I was fully satisfied. Renfield was a bit meh. It had a lot of lecker gory moments, which I found pleasantly disturbing. But as a fan of old-fashioned vampire lore, I wasn't very impressed.
Wow, who's a fan of old-fashioned vampire lore?
She is. I know they wanted to bring something different to the table.
I hope she's not talking about Twilight.
Buffy the Vampire.
Nah,
in which case, we've got your back.
Yeah, no, with Twilight. No, we don't.
I know they wanted to bring something different to the table and wanted to have fun with it, but it left me expecting more. Super Mario movie. Lol. Man, did this movie make me laugh. I couldn't get enough. I just had a blast from beginning to end. Had me going back a few times to some scenes. I was so invested in the characters, the way they were portrayed.
Wrong!
In a faithful way to the source.
Wrong!
The child in me is super happy to have seen this come to life on the big screen. Fully recommend. Peaches, 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 peaches.
Wow. What's her name again?
Meg's full name, her government name as per...
Don't put down people's government.
Meg Macabre Skults.
Listen, that.
See the vampire lore, Macabre.
Ah, connection. But she's wrong about Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah, let's listen to Abigail Whitten's feedback.
Okay.
No.
Super Mario, trash. Dungeons and Dragons, trash. Letty must stay and do a Fast and Furious franchise. Renfield was chaotic and lots of fun. Air was fab.
Fab. Nice.
Casual Dork says, took the kids to see Mario Bros. And all I could think about was how uncomfy the seats were.
So that just shows how cucked the movie.
If you're feeling seats throughout. Tony Maneo says, sorry guys, I didn't watch any of those movies. I was watching a movie about how to breathe under a... I think he drowned. Under...
I think he's talking about Sisu.
Oh.
You should watch Sisu.
But he ran out of letters, I thought he drowned.
Are you sure you don't have to click on the...
Oh, at the end. He put the rest of the parentheses.
Fair enough, I think there's a character limit.
I think it's a joke and he drowned.
Blop, 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 blop.
And then we also have AddyPaddy89 who says, lived D&D, movie of the year so far.
Wow, that is not true.
Yeah.
I mean,
I haven't seen that much AddyPaddy.
No, it is definitely a front runner for me so far.
It's good. Yeah, I don't know about movie of the year contenders for me yet, but...
No, I mean, it's early days.
Love your truth. And, love your truth.
Yeah, anybody...
anybody 89.
Anybody 89, listen, just love your truth.
Love your truth.
Enjoy the D and the D, if you know what I mean. Can you see my... I have bowels full. You can't see me. But yeah, that's
not
it.
Not even bowels palsy awareness with your trust.
Not even... BBAW. Fuck, I'm becoming just like. Anyway, wow, Megasode, what a lovely episode idea that we did because we were catching up on things and stuff.
That was great.
Thank you, everyone, for contributing. Mm. If someone wanted to contribute a little more, how would they find us?
You can contribute to our email, bicyclebrowser@gmail.com. I too have health balls.
That's not how it works.
BioscopeBrasa@gmail.com. And you can find us on all the socials, BioscopeBrasa Podcast.
Oh, yeah. And if you enjoyed this, just let us know. I mean, we like doing movie reviews and stuff. And sometimes we have to catch up. So we eat like 4 movies in an episode.
Yeah.
And if you like that type of thing, then let us know.
But if you didn't like it, don't let us know.
We just so you
just try.
Yes. Anyway, Jody, stay safe, everyone. Safe, Jody.
Safe, Ross.
Nagane.
You're lying there on the couch and then shouting comes off when the episode.